Well, hello to everyone. It's Tuesday, June 12th, 2023. In the last teaching, Dwelling in God, Part 2, I mentioned David's meditations of God's ways and the works of God's hands. And throughout the Psalms, David maintained a humbleness to his own humanness while acknowledging God's unquestionable greatness. And David, in his own words, said that he hid the word in his heart that he would not sin against God. And David was always asking for more. God, give me more. Honestly, if there is one cure-all for waning spirituality, it has to be the meekness of heart to worship God and to pursue his giving you an understanding heart for his word, and of course with the intention of us doing it. Psalm 196 has 176 verses, so we are not going to read all of them, but I do encourage you to read the entire psalm. I'm reading from the Bible in basic English. Let's begin in verse 1. But remember, we're reading these verses in order to, number 1, see David's understanding of the frailties of the flesh, and number 2, his heart's earnest desire to trust God for his safety and also for the victories over his enemies that were always pursuing him. Verse 1, happy are they who without sin in their ways, walking in the law of the word. Happy are they who keep his unchanging word, searching after him with all their heart. David's understanding was amazing. He got it. Those who choose to walk without sin in their way are happy, which means blessed. Ever think of it like that? You might say, well, I was moving along in life and then sin got in my way. You know, sin is a tripwire. And by David's own choice to choose life and blessings, he searched after God with all his heart in order to keep his unchanging word. And these choices God made very clear, and they're listed in Deuteronomy 30. In verse 15, we'll continue with the Bible in basic English. See, I have put before you today life and good, and death and evil. In giving you orders today to have love for the Lord your God, to go in his ways and keep his laws and his orders and his decisions so that you may have life and be increased, and that the blessing of the Lord your God may be with you in the land where you are going, the land of your heritage. But if your heart is turned away and your ear is shut, and you go after those who would make you servants and worshippers of other gods, I give witness against you this day that destruction will certainly be your fate, and your days will be cut short in the land where you are going, the land of your heritage on the other side of Jordan. Let heaven and earth be my witness against you this day that I have put before you life and death, a blessing and a curse. So take life for yourselves and for your seed. In loving the Lord your God, hearing his voice, and being true to him, for he is your life, and by him will your days be long, so that you may go on living in the land which the Lord gave by an oath to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You know, God explained these two choices. And then, just to make sure you didn't accidentally pick the wrong one, he told them to choose. Take life for yourself and all your seed. That's in verse 19. So taking life for yourself is going to be a 2, maybe 3-part series that we'll start today with this part 1. We'll see how far we get each time. So going back to Psalm 119 and verse 3, we'll pick it up again. Speaking of those who choose lives filled with life and blessings, they take life for themselves. Verse 3, they do no evil. They go in His ways. You have put Your orders into our hearts so that we might keep them with care. If only my steps were ordered so that I might keep Your rules. Well, we all know too well how the fleshly part of us is our greatest liability at times. Even though we ever so much want to follow every directive laid out in His Word, then I would not be put to shame as long as I have respect for all Your teaching. You know, David didn't want the shame of failing in his hopes and his expectations for the victories he needed in his life. And even with all his kingly resources, you think of it, he had the palaces, he had the infantry, he had the weapons, the horses, the chariots. But whenever flesh, and I'm speaking of the carnal mind, goes against the nature of the flesh, that victory is up for grabs. There's no givens. But if you, I would pretty much bet it's going to be a loss. And it makes me think of Romans chapter 10. In verse 11, continuing in the Bible in basic English, because it is said in the Holy Writings, whosoever hath faith in Him will not be ashamed. In Romans 10, that faith in Him refers to our new birth. And by confessing with our mouths the Lord Jesus, and believing in our hearts that God raised Jesus from the dead, God promised that we will not be disappointed in our expectation. We received the new birth. We received Christ in us, the gift of Holy Spirit at that moment of the new birth. We received the promise, the token, that no matter what we did from that point forward, we would spend eternity with our Lord Jesus Christ and our Heavenly Father and all the wonderful heavenly angels. And in fact, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9 in the King James promises us, look at this, but as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love it. You know, we can't even think that big. We can't even imagine. We can't even close our eyes and come close to a mental picture of it. Because it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. I want to love Him. You want to love Him. Absolutely. Look at that. You know, maybe David didn't have this verse from the New Testament to read, but you can be sure, as you read Psalms, he certainly had the hope of the coming Redeemer in his heart. He knew the Messiah would be on his way, and he trusted God with his life. He went on to say in Psalm 119, verse 7, I will give you praise with an upright heart in learning your right decisions. And this year, where we're focusing on glorifying God, you know, God is praised. He is glorified when His children, when the believers maintain a straightness in our hearts. You know, we are on this earth representing the character of God. So we do not want to let our flesh assassinate His character. And if we're going to do that, we should just zip our lip that we're even born again. Absolutely. And when we aren't trying to, and being straight in our heart means we aren't trying to figure out all the ways we can justify cutting corners on his instructions. Quite the contrary. We delight in the scriptures as one who has just found a gold mine or is enjoying that unique sweetness of a honeycomb. When we are brimming with joy, brimming with spiritual expectation to keep learning about God's righteous decisions, then we care. And our hearts desire above all to keep his instructions. In verse 8, I will keep your rules. Oh, give me not up completely. Again, isn't that such a human contemplation? Don't give up on me, Lord. Please don't give up on me. Have you ever said that? Of course you have, or thought it. Maybe not in those words, but words that would come from you. I said it, and I'll probably live to say it again. We know the flesh can get in our way. That's the point. It is something we should know in order to remain in our spiritual place humbly. But worrying about our flesh getting in the way is not our primary focus. Being afraid of our flesh, being worried about what our flesh is going to do next, that is only going to lead us to disaster. That is not what David did. He was just mindful. He meditated. God, without you, I would be nothing. You know, I'm a king. I have all this stuff. But without you, I would be weak. I would fall to my enemies. You know, our fleshly bodies, this is the point, our fleshly bodies have no eternal reservation. 1 Corinthians 15 tells us about that. Our fleshly bodies, they're going to be changed into spiritual bodies. And from the New Living Translation, I want to start in verse 50. I tell you this, my brothers, an earthly body made of flesh and blood cannot get into God's kingdom. These perishable bodies of ours are not the right kind to live forever. But I am telling you this strange and wonderful secret. We shall not all die, but we shall all be given new bodies. It will all happen in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, when the last trump is blown, for there will be a trumpet blast from the sky. And all the Christians who have died will suddenly become alive with new bodies that will never, never die. And then we who are still alive shall suddenly have new bodies too. For our earthly bodies, the ones that we have now that can die, must be transformed into heavenly bodies that cannot perish but will live forever. You know, I'd say that adds substantial weight to the verse that we read a few moments ago in Corinthians. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Well, how about a body that lives forever? A new body. One that is perfect. So we don't focus on the flesh. Rather, our focus is on God and his words to us and for us. Although we know our flesh can be weak to a fault, we are to focus on our spiritual resources. And that's what God has made us in Christ Jesus. All the things he has done within that new birth. All the spiritual power, all the spiritual resources at our fingertips. Verse 9 of Psalm 119. How may a young man cleanse... I'm sorry, I'm saying the King James. in the Bible Basic English, how may a young man make his way clean? By guiding it after your word. You know, here's a great example of biblical meditation. You know, meditation in these modern times almost gives me shivers. It has taken such a left curve in the meaning of it and the, the broadness of its meaning. But the biblical meaning, to lock it down tight, it comes from both a French and a Latin word, words, meaning to ponder, to estimate the worth of, to appraise, to weigh carefully in the mind, to consider or reflect. All of these verses expressed by David, they so show his devotion to biblical meditation. Verse 10, I have made search for you with all my heart. Oh, let me not go wandering far from your teaching. I have kept your saying secretly in my heart, so that I might do no sin against you. David hid God's sayings in his heart, knowing they were the only hope he had against the sin in his flesh. You know, he didn't want to sin against God. His desire was to praise and glorify God, to make him known, to speak to all the congregation. Verse 12, praise be to you, O Lord. Give me knowledge of your rules. See, he continues to ask God for more knowledge of his rules for life. David wants to be filled with God's knowledge. He wants God to illuminate his understanding so that he can do the things God would have him to do. Verse 13, with my lips have I made clear all the decisions of your mouth. I have taken as much delight in the way of your unchanging word as in all wealth. You know, here's David. He meditated upon how God's unchanging word brought to him more delight than all the wealth that is in the world, all the riches of his kingdom. And starting in verse 15, David affirms his choice for life and blessings. And you know, this is something that's kind of good to do every morning. Reaffirm. Freshen the vow. Meditate upon these things, so that thy profiting shall appear unto all. Revolve them around in your mind. Absolutely. Verse 15, I will give thought to your orders and have respect for your ways. He thought about them. Over and over and over. And he always meditated, pondered, evaluated, and arrived at the same conclusion. I will have respect for your ways. Verse 16, I will have delight in your rules. I will not let your word go out of my mind. Give me your servant. Not the king. No. Give me, your servant, the reward of life, so that I may keep your word. Let my eyes be open to see the wonders of your law. And I was thinking as I was reading this section, you know, it sounds like the inspiration for the hymn, Open My Eyes. And I actually looked up the lyrics to familiarize myself with them once again, and they were just so beautiful that I decided I wanted to read them and share them in this teaching. It's three verses, and at the end of each verse, it has a little chorus. Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Place in my hands the wonderful key that shall unclasp and set me free. Silently now, I wait for thee. ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my eyes, illumine me, Spirit divine. Open my ears, that I may hear voices of truth thou sendest clear. And while the wave notes fall on my ear, everything false will disappear. Silently now I wait for thee, ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my ears, illumine me, Spirit divine. Open my mouth and let me bear gladly the warm truth everywhere. Open my heart and let me prepare love with thy children thus to share. Silently now I wait for thee, ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my mouth, illumine me, Spirit divine. And, you know, it says in Philippians 2:13, for it is God which worketh in you. And he works in you through his divine gift of Holy Spirit that you received at the new birth. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. God our Father, through the works of his Son, he's pleased. It is his pleasure. It is his joy to work within his children. He wants to. And it is our free will choice to take life for ourselves that unleashes all his benefits that he desires to shower upon us. And in Psalm 119, verse 19, David goes on, I am living in a strange land. Do not let your teachings be kept secret from me. You know, when we truly grab hold of the knowledge that although we are living in this world for 80, 90, 100 years, yet spiritually we are not of it. We aren't born of the world. We are born of God. You know, we'll realize that this world we live in is indeed a strange land. As in David's time, the world is idolatrous and it's antichrist for the most part. David said in verse 20, my soul is broken with desire for your decisions at all times. The King James for verse 20 says, my soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgments at all times. And I want to believe that all of us relate or greatly desire to relate to this meditation by David, that our souls long with desire to be close in fellowship with our Father, that we want nothing more than to dwell in the center of his will and be pleasing to him, that we live to delight him, that each day we choose to nourish the condition of our hearts toward him. You know, people get up every morning, they take supplements for their brain, they take supplements for their heart, they take supplements for their muscles. But every morning, do we nourish the condition of our hearts toward God? Boy, that is not just a supplement. That's the mainstay. So, that's just in the first 20 verses of this amazing psalm. And again, I encourage you to finish it on your own. And as I do, it's always interesting to check out the various translations and see how things are done. I always study and prepare from the King James because I love the fact that the Young's words, the numbering system, lines up with the King James Version. But then once I'm very solid and very sure that I understand the context and understand the verse the way it is, then I do enjoy reading the other translations, because some of them, they're bogus, and you see right away they didn't look up any Greek words at all to get the meaning that kind of tethers us to the context. But then others, they just turn a phrase in such a way that it sort of melts your heart. So I do like reading the various translations. You know, God enlarged David's understanding to realize that true victory comes only through trusting in God's power. Throughout Psalms, David reflected again and again his sole reliance in God. He called God his rock, his fortress, his deliverer, his strength, his buckler, the horn of his salvation, his high tower. He looked to God to hide him in his pavilion, in the secret of God's tabernacle, in his house of refuge and defense. So we're going to stop here for today and await part two, where we're going to continue on with this taking life for yourself. So until then, God bless you. God's wonderful blessings are yours simply for the choosing. Our love to all of you.